Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Westridge. Glad you made it out on a chilly day. So the secret to happiness, and I've learned that like many other secrets, the secret to success and marriage and whatever it is, it seems like it's not so much a mystery that needs to be solved as much as it's usually a very well-known or common sense thing that just doesn't get practiced enough. So as we begin today, I want to read some things to you and see if you kind of resonate, if this describes how you feel. So do you ever feel like you're on the giving end, but almost never on the receiving end of things? Or do you feel like you just simply don't hear the words thank you often enough? Or maybe you feel taken for granted several times a day. Or it feels like what you do, even if it's done with great sacrifice, it's exactly what was expected. Or it can feel like you're invisible and no one really has much to say to you unless they need something. You ever feel that way? Do you know what we call that? Parenting. And I'm only half joking because whether it's your kids or my kids or you when you were a kid, whatever it is, gratitude is something that we have to learn, and it's a lifestyle that has to be chosen. So ingratitude is something that it shows up very, very easily when you're the one who does not receive it. But it's really, really easy to be blind to when you're the one who could be giving it. So last week, Greg started this series, The Secret of Happiness and How Gratitude Can Change Our Life. And that was essentially the gist of his message, that gratitude well lived, the gratitude God calls us to, can literally change our life. And today, we're going to look at an encounter with Jesus that talks about how gratitude does not just change your life, but it changes your relationships. So if you want to understand how to be a follower of Jesus, one of the things that's important is to ask yourself, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus do? What did he teach? Or maybe in some cases it might actually be the people who were around Jesus and encountered him, what did they learn from those encounters that we also can learn? So today we're going to be looking at a story of an encounter with some people with Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. And it's a fairly short story, so I'm just going to read it to you. This is from Luke 17. It says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, praise God. He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Now, I think it's kind of important with a story like this to understand a little bit about this disease called leprosy, to really grasp the full meaning of what's happening in this moment as these men encounter Jesus. So leprosy was a devastating disease on many fronts. So for example, physically, if you had leprosy, I mean, it was defined as this slow-growing bacteria that would affect the skin and the nerves. And it would show up when these dark, dry, raised patches of skin, sometimes with swelling and lumps. Doesn't sound good, right? So this disease is something that, because it destroyed nerve cells, it was even worse than it sounds, because even though it might sound good to not feel pain, not feeling any pain from those destroyed nerve cells meant that people with leprosy might twist an ankle, they might be badly burned, they might do something else to their body. They wouldn't even feel it and would do worse damage because they couldn't feel pain. But it gets worse from there. Because even though the physical part sounds bad, relationally, it was not long and slow. It was quick and extremely brutal, because if you had leprosy, a contagious disease, you were immediately separated from all other people. That means spouse, children, friends, anybody that you were in relationship with, it no longer existed. You were literally in this life sentence of separation and quarantine from everybody you knew, and the only other people that you could ever have any relationship with were people with leprosy. And as bad as that is, it gets worse from there, because this disease had a sort of blame the victim sort of thing going with it. People assumed that if you had leprosy, it was because undoubtedly you had committed some kind of terrible and grave sin. So these people who are lepers have literally come to the place where there are no options. I mean, the only cure for leprosy is death. There's no treatment. There's no remedy. There's no way to get better. There comes a time in life when we may face something that is so extreme that we realize we are out of options. And finally, and maybe for the first time, we acknowledge how helpless we are and that we're actually ready to ask someone for help. Because honestly, for many of us, it's only coming to that moment that we will admit that we're in too deep and that we cannot fix it by ourselves. For these 10 lepers, this cry out to Jesus of "have mercy on us," it was both a "we recognize we cannot fix it," and "we also believe that you, Jesus, we are hoping that you can." So it was clear that there was nothing else to try, and I almost feel like faith for these guys may not have been quite as difficult, because what other option did they have? Where else were they going to turn? So when Jesus comes close to them and they call out and Jesus responds, this was the moment when they first experienced faith and said, "we're going to trust you." And Jesus' response, I don't know what those guys would have expected, but it even surprised me. Like, he just says back, "go show yourself to the priest." It doesn't sound like what I would have expected from Jesus. I thought it would have been a compassion hug fest. But no, Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. Because in Jewish law, if you go back and look in Leviticus 13, there's a very detailed description of exactly what you have to do if you have any kind of contagious skin disease, leprosy included. If you do, not only do you have to be separated, but the only way that you could ever be re-engaged with society was if you followed everything that was written in Leviticus, and you would go to the priest, and the priest would give you the all clean. Now, this only happened after several rituals and some time had passed, but that was what it meant to finally be able to come back. Now, for lepers, that wasn't an option. So this was the moment when they encounter Jesus, and there are three words that I think are pretty remarkable in this text. In verse 14, after Jesus tells them to go see the priest, it says, as they went. And the reason I think those words are remarkable is because Jesus had said to them, go, and it wasn't until they actually began following the instructions of Jesus that they could look down and see that they were actually cleansed. There are times, I think, when we wait for clarity and certainty from God that he really doesn't promise. And it leads me to this question, a question that I think makes sense for you and for me, and that is, how much different would your life be? How much different would my life be if instead of waiting for God to make things easy, I began immediately moving in the direction that I know that he's calling me to? Because a life of gratitude begins, quite honestly, with steps of faith. There are times, I think, when feeling grateful isn't really very difficult. And what I mean by that is if someone gives me a gift or gives you a gift, when they do, I don't really have to muster up my courage to say thank you. I feel grateful. Someone thought of me. Someone gave me something. To actually say thank you is natural and normal and easy. The grateful life that God calls us to is a little bit more next level than just that. As Greg introduced the idea of gratitude last week, he said that the life of gratitude that God calls us to is more than just feeling good when good things happen. He says, this is a gratitude that calls you to be grateful no matter what the circumstances, even when bad things happen, when you don't naturally and instinctively want to be grateful, you're still called to a life of gratitude. So for these 10 guys, when I look at 10 men who had essentially been given a death sentence and are the walking dead men, I have to think, how tough is it going to be for them to feel grateful? Right? I mean, I think anyone would. But in this encounter, of the 10 guys, not everyone who had the same encounter had the same response. Not everyone had the same change in this moment. So this one guy comes back, and he comes back different because he returns to say thank you to Jesus. And what's interesting is at this place, the writer Luke puts in just a little blurb in there that is supposed to help us understand something. He says, and he was a Samaritan. Now, that's the way, without saying it, that's the way that you say, this is the kind of person who would be the most unlikely, the seemingly unworthy kind of person who would never be helped or healed by someone like Jesus. Because you see, the Jewish people, they prided themselves in the fact that they could trace their lineage all the way back to Abraham. Because if you could have a pure bloodline going all the way back to Abraham, that would mean that you are clearly one of God's people. And if you could not only did it mean that your salvation was suspect, it also meant that you were probably very clearly an outsider who had no place among God's people. Now keep in mind, that wasn't God who said that. It wasn't God who rejected them. That was God's people who had chosen on their own selfishness and bias that they weren't going to like someone like that. Years before, this is concerning this whole thing of Samaritans. You see it in the Bible over and over. You hear about the parable of the Good Samaritan, and you see the Samaritan woman that Jesus talks to at a well. Over and over, you hear about these Samaritans, and it kind of helps to know that once upon a time, years before Jesus, the Jewish people were captured in war, and they were forced to live in a place of captivity called Samaria. And while they were there, these Jewish people intermarried with people from other countries. And so now the Jewish people hate them and call them Samaritans because their blood is polluted. Jews hated Samaritans more than people who were just straight up non-Jewish because they once upon a time could have claimed to be part of the people of God. But now they had their blood polluted. Those people, whether it's today or in the Bible, those people who felt far, far from God and had no religious background, or maybe it was sketchy at best, those people were always drawn to the love and the grace of Jesus. And what's remarkable is he was drawn right back to them. There was a medical missionary doctor by the name of Dr. Paul Brand, who was a missionary to the country of India. And because leprosy was so prevalent, he became an expert in leprosy and the treatments that were available to people in his time. He co-wrote a book with Philip Yancey, and he did it called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And it describes a moment when Dr. Brand is meeting with a person, one of his patients, and he's examining the hands of this man that is described as a very bright young man. And in the middle of this consultation, this man just starts sobbing. Dr. Brand stops and he's confused. He's doing his best to communicate in the man's language, but he sees this man sobbing and he turns to his assistant and he said, What's wrong? Did I say something? Did I do something? And his assistant, who spoke the language of this man, said, no, he's just emotional because you put your hand on his shoulder and no one has touched him in years. That's the kind of person that Jesus was when he encountered them, the people that no one would be with, no one wanted to touch or be around. That's who Jesus is. So he comes to this moment and he's with this man and he says, where are the other nine? It's the religious people. The religious people who had missed this moment to be with Jesus. They'd gone on their way as they'd been commanded, but this man, maybe as a Samaritan, maybe he could never have even got an audience with the priest to start with. He comes back to Jesus extremely grateful and thankful. And he knows that there's something more important than priests and temples and rituals. In the last verse, it says that Jesus tells this man, go because your faith has healed you. And that doesn't sound so remarkable to us, but if we could see it in the Greek language, the word healed in that verse is different than where it says cleansed back in verse 14. Because it has a different meaning. This is the Greek word sozo, which means saved, as in Jesus came to save the world. This man, because of his gratitude, had a different kind of relationship with Jesus. It had changed who he was and changed his relationship with God himself. And so what is it? What is it about this guy that takes him to the next level kind of gratitude? What is it that's different? I have to believe that every one of those guys, all 10 of them, did feel grateful. Literally, how could you not? But this is really where the rubber meets the road today. Because it's not a matter of missing the feeling of gratitude. It's a matter of failure to express it. You can be grateful to someone in your heart, but if that gratitude doesn't show up in your words, as a place in your calendar, as a transaction in your checkbook, you really have to wonder, am I really grateful? Is gratitude that's unexpressed really gratitude, is the question. So the real question today, the real question that I want to ask you is, how are you at expressing gratitude? How are you doing in that? If it's hard to express gratitude, and I can certainly put myself in that group, at least at times, if it's hard to express gratitude, it's very likely that it's hard for you to express gratitude because you see expressing gratitude as a sign of weakness. To express gratitude to your spouse or to your team or to your boss or any other person is sort of like saying, I couldn't have done it without you. And the truth is, you couldn't have. The people around you deserve your gratitude, and you would never have accomplished what you have without them being in your life. And it's the reason that we don't really talk so much about the act of gratitude as much as we talk about the attitude of gratitude. Because it requires a way of thinking about us in relationship to others to really understand the gratitude God wants us to have. Unexpressed gratitude is a very clear way of saying, I don't need you. And I don't think any of us really want to live there. Last week when we wrapped up, Greg left you with a challenge. He said, respond to this by maybe starting a gratitude journal where you write down the things that you're grateful for, the good things in your life that God or others have done for you, so that you can actually see with paper and pencil, you can see what you have to be grateful for. I want to take that one more step. I don't want you to leave your gratitude on the paper. Unless, of course, you want to fold it up, put it in an envelope, stamp it, and send it. But text someone, email them, talk to them face to face, and tell them what it is that you are grateful for and why you're grateful that they are in your life. And as you're looking for that perfect gift for friends and family and whoever it is, I want to challenge you and encourage you to do one more thing. Instead of just wrapping it up with a beautiful bow, I want to challenge you to take a few more moments and write a note and say with that gift, the reason that I'm giving this gift and the reason that I'm grateful for you is. My best encouragement for you today is don't let your gratitude go unspoken. If you want relationships that are different, be that one that turned around and came back and said thanks.